Welcome back, guys. It's time for a midweek mini, and we are so excited today. If you heard our episode on Monday about Singapore with Ariana from pointchaser.com, then get excited because she is back today. This is the first time we've had a guest with us for a midweek mini, but in her freelance writing career, she has published some really cool articles, and one of them really caught our eye. She helped her sister buy a car and put most of the money on a World of Hyatt credit card. We all have to buy cars, and we're all looking for ways to maximize those big purchases for points and miles travel. So, Ariana, we are so excited. You're going to have to tell us all about this because it is pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty exciting that I got to do this because I like to maximize every single dollar I spend, right? Like, no matter what I'm buying, if I can put it on a credit card, I will. And, you know, I expressed this idea to my family that, like, if you're making a big purchase, no matter what it is, check with me first because I can help you earn more points, or maybe I have a spending requirement I need to knock out. Like, just, you know, let's keep each other in the loop. So my sister called me one day and she was like, I'm buying a van. It's kind of a big purchase. I negotiated a good price, and I also let the dealership know that I was interested in paying with a credit card if possible. And she kind of pulled that out at the last minute because, you know, if you tell them right out of the gate you're going to use a credit card, they're going to hike up the price because, you know, fees on that transaction. So at the very end, she said, can you let me use a credit card for this? And the dealer agreed. So she called me and she said, what should I do? Do you have, you know, a card that you want to put this on? Because I, you know, it was a bigger purchase than $20,000. And she was like, you know, is there a card that you want to maybe split this into? Because I don't have a big enough credit limit to buy the full, you know, car on this. So I kind of like had to think quickly, like, which credit card would I use? I was thinking of using like my Capital One Venture because it earns 2 points per dollar on every, you know, purchase. And at the time, I had made a big purchase with that card. It was for a retail arbitrage thing that I'm doing on the side. And I was like, okay, what else could I do? Most of my cards only earn 1 point per dollar spent. No one is giving you bonus categories on dealership purchases, unfortunately.
Right.
So I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, the Hyatt card actually is a good option because it gives you not just 1 point per dollar spent, which is valuable because Hyatt points, they go a very long way, but also they reward you for meeting certain spending thresholds. Like if you spend,
yes,
you know, you spend $15,000 a year, you get an extra free night. If you spend $5,000, you get 2 extra elite night credits towards status. So that seemed like the best option, and I had a big enough credit line, so I went ahead and I charged the purchase to my Hyatt card.
That is perfect. I think that most people think, okay, I can probably put a down payment on a credit card, but I don't think most people think in terms of being able to buy the whole thing outright on a credit card. I would say we wouldn't recommend that for people unless they have the cash sitting to the side that they're planning to like pay that off very quickly, because obviously a lot of these credit cards are 26% interest. You don't want to pay 26% interest on $20,000. So how exactly do you negotiate this with the dealership? Like, I know you said throw it in at the end there, but I was thinking, like, what if you went through all of that work and then you got to the end and you settled on a price and they were like, no, we're not going to let you do that. Like, do you have any tips, or is there anything she did or said that she felt like was particularly effective that made them want to take that offer? Because I know dealerships in general want you to finance with them. That's where they make a ton of money.
Yeah. And I think she was lucky because it is kind of a buyer's market at the moment because of the high interest fees. A lot of people aren't looking to finance vehicles. And the car that she was buying was, it's a van. So it's a little more expensive than your standard sedan. And she had been talking to this salesperson for a while via text, negotiating. And then when she went in, she was like, okay, this is the price I'm willing to buy at. He agreed. And I think because so much time was invested in negotiating this, he didn't want to, you know, have a customer who was paying cash just walk out the door, you know? And that's essentially what it was, because she didn't want to finance the car. And buying it on a credit card was just like an added bonus for her because she could earn these extra rewards. And she let it be known that, you know, there are other dealerships that might allow me to use a credit card. So, you know, you have a willing customer, let's get this done. It's not that much more of an expense. I think there's like usually a 3% fee for merchants, a credit card processing fee. So I think they kind of saw it as a small expense compared to getting rid of this giant car that, you know, maybe had been sitting on the lot for a little while. And they were willing to let her, you know, use their card. And again, not every dealership will allow this. And it's also important to note, because the story, when I wrote it, went viral. Like, I was told it was the, like, traffic story on Business Insider that year. So a lot of people, and at one point, my dad sent me a link to it that he saw on Facebook. He was like, you need to go in the comments and talk to people because they have the wrong impression about, like, how you And I started reading the comments, and a lot of people were like, well, good luck to her because she's going to be paying interest, you know, that's going to outweigh the value of the points. It's really important to note, if you make any purchase, you want to pay that off immediately. You want to be able to pay it off at the end of the month before it accrues interest. And this was no exception. So there was no, this was not a financing method. This was merely a method to, you know, earn rewards on a purchase she would have made with cash anyway. So, I think, you know, saving the can I use a credit card for this purchase till the very end really served her, because the price was locked down. They didn't want to lose a customer, and, you know, the cost of acquisition, which may have been like 3 to 5% or whatever, was not that great. So it made sense to them.
Right.
I love that you thought. Yeah, I love that you thought to use a Hyatt card. I don't think I would have thought about that, but being someone who does have a Hyatt card and I really enjoy hitting those benchmarks to earn, you know, club access and earn a suite upgrade and earn 5,000 bonus points. You know, there are things that you earn along the way as you, you know, spend throughout the year on your card. So that was genius. You got the free night for hitting 15,000 spin. You got the elite night credits. That was awesome. You're always sister of the year. We learned that in our last episode about Singapore, but you're a handy sister to have. I also love that you mentioned that she negotiated via text beforehand. And while this is not a How to Buy Cars podcast, I do remember the last time we bought a car, a family car, a minivan, actually, just like your sister was buying a van. My husband had done a lot of research. We knew exactly what kind of van we wanted. And he did, because I can stand nothing more than trying to negotiate. I hate confrontation. The idea of negotiating face-to-face with someone who's selling cars is truly my nightmare. And so he negotiated absolutely everything via email. Like, it was all the way done before we rolled up at the lot, checked out to make sure the car was okay, and bought it. So that was really smart of her also to like start the negotiations ahead of time via text before going to the lot, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it gets very challenging. Like, when I was looking for a car, I finally threw in the towel. I was like, I don't want to talk to any more salespeople. I'm just going to order a Tesla. Like, at least you don't talk to anyone. The price is the
price. Like, I see the beauty in that.
You know, it's almost like going to like a drive-thru and picking up food. Like, it's that easy. So, but my sister, she's very like good about like negotiating. And she had dealt with a few dealers who like told her one price and then over the phone. And then when she showed up, was like, oh no, that's not what I told you. So she made sure everything was text and pre-negotiated. She wanted to spend as little time there at the dealership as possible. Because once they get you, they kind of will kind of drag it out to try get you to buy a car. So the, you know.
It's so bad.
The more you can just get the painful part out ahead of time. And then she, you know, she just showed up, knew what she was paying, threw in the little credit card thing at the end, and they went for it. So it worked out.
That's awesome. We're kind of in the middle of this in my family right now because my brother just got a safety and emissions inspection and found out his car is going to cost like $8,000 to pass safety and emissions. It's a very, very old car, a million miles on it. So he's like, well, guess I'm buying a new car. And, you know, I think the reality is not everyone has $20,000, $25,000 laying around that they can pay cash for a car. So my advice to him is, let's open a new card for you and you can hit a sign-up bonus with the amount of cash you do have for a down payment, $7,000 or $8,000 that he's been saving for this purpose that you can immediately pay off. So you have the smallest amount possible that you have to finance through a credit union or something, probably not the dealership in my opinion. But that way you're earning this massive chunk of points with a sign-up bonus and maybe even a sign-up bonus you wouldn't usually be able to spend, like a $15,000 sign-up bonus, because traditionally most, you know, single working people can't spend $15,000 in 3 months. That kind of would be an alternate way for people to go about it if they want to get something for the car purchase, but, you know, they don't have the amount to pay the whole thing in full. Are there any cards you could think of off the top of your head that if people had time and they didn't have to make a hasty decision, like I'm buying this right now, I need to use a card I already have. Is there anything you can think of that you feel like would make an awesome card for like a down payment purchase?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on like what your goals are, right? Like, what are you going to do with the points ultimately? Right. But I try to also look at like, what's a great welcome bonus at the moment, you know? For example, like the Expedia cards have elevated bonuses at the moment. I know it's like a weird one because we're all about points, but I actually like, I'm getting a lot of value out of my Expedia card. And, right, you know, the premium version has a $600 welcome bonus. So you get $600 in travel. The card has like a $100 annual fee, but then you get a $100 credit every year and you get like elite status, I think gold level. And then you get all these other perks out of it. So that's like a good one. Or the Capital One Venture card. That's my go-to recommendation for most people because the rewards are simple. 2x mm-hmm. on every, a few extra bonus points when you, you know, go through the travel portal and book a vacation. But the welcome bonus is like 75,000 points after $4,000 spent. Yeah. It is, I think, attainable for some people who, you know, split that across 3 months and put all of their household bills on it. But mm-hmm. if you just want like the bonus fast and you have a big purchase, that's a good card. And you earn yeah. $2 per dollar spent. That was going to be my go-to if it wasn't, you know, almost maxed out at the time. So I think right. that's a good choice too.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was my first recommendation to him. I will remind people that Capital One is very picky and he had 2 inquiries over the last couple of months and that caused him to be denied for that card even with an incredible credit score. So keep that in mind. I had the same experience earlier last year, which is super frustrating. I also want people to remember to pay attention to the average credit limit that some of these cards extend, because my next thought for him was maybe a business card. And I was thinking, oh, maybe a Chase Inc. But then I remembered, wait, my Chase Inc. credit limits are very low. And I see that a lot. So what you don't want to do is get really excited about a card that has a $3,000 limit. And then you find out you can't even put your entire down payment on that card. So the Capital One usually comes with a massive credit limit. We were talking about the American Airlines business card has a very big limit. Amex cards usually have pretty big limits. So you do want to pay attention to that. Just anybody who is listening to this episode thinking, hey, I was just planning out buying a car and figuring out how I could maximize this for my my own points journey. These are just things to keep in mind.
A workaround. So if you end up with a card that has a low credit limit, mm-hmm. You could overpay the card and then you have an excess credit line. So it's like if the down payment is $4,000 and he has a $1,500 credit limit, make a $2,500 payment on the card. Now you have a $4,000 limit and you'll be able to, you know, charge the full down payment to the card.
That works. It's not going to get declined. I've never heard this before.
Yeah, you can overpay your credit card and then use, you know, whatever excess balance is to make a purchase.
Wow. So you just go in and pay like way too much beforehand.
Yes. And then, you know, you can make bigger purchases. And you got to do it fast because sometimes, you know, they will, it will trigger like a refund check, which you don't have to cash, but it's like annoying to get, you know, like a check in the mail that could be compromised. But yeah, if you just do that and then the next day go out and max out your card and then, of course, like pay everything off quickly, then yeah, that's a way to get around it. Well, I've had that, for example, I have a Citi Business Advantage card that I got a while ago. The spending requirement is like $6,000 in 4 months. And my spending limit is $1,500. So it's kind of annoying because like, okay, I have to max it out every month. And then, so I did overpay it the first couple of months so that I could have knock out more spending without, you know, like waiting for the payment to go through and then maxing it out again. So you could totally do that. Just overpay and then use the excess, it acts as like an excess credit line for you.
That is genius. Genius.
The more you know, I feel like the little stars flying through the sky. The other thing I want to point out to everybody that Ariana mentioned earlier is that the dealership paid the 3% charge fee. What merchant fee? Is that what we called it? Sometimes they will try to put that on you. And then if you're paying 3% more, then, you know, have to think long and hard about whether it's really worth it to earn the points or earn the rewards you're going for. But if you negotiate it for them to pay that, then absolutely it's worth it.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And I would not put it past any dealer to kind of sneak that in there when they agree. So make that very clear. Like, I want to use a credit card. Can you waive the transaction fee so that I'm not paying extra? So that's a good point.
Absolutely. Well, I know we have a lot of family listeners, and I feel like people with families and kids are always having car problems and needing new cars or car fixes or anything else. So this is it's just a very well-timed episode for me personally and my family, and we hope that everybody else learned a lot from this today. Remind everybody, Ariana, where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me on my blog, pointchaser.com. And I'm also on all the social media platforms. My handle is pointchaser.
Amazing. And if you guys missed Monday's episode, you're going to need to go back and listen to it. It is amazing. You're not going to want to miss it. And thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. We will see you here next time.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.